Daniel Golden from Boswell Books. Welcome back to Lake Effect. Nice to see you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You are just recently returned from one of the biggest book events of the year. Tell me about BookCon and what its significance is and what you came out of it with.
Well, this is a long storied convention. This is actually the 29th time I've been there. It used to be called the American Booksellers Association Convention when the booksellers ran it. Probably 20 years ago, they sold it off to Reed, and it is now called the private part is called Book Expo. And it is the major convention of the United States, not of the world. There's a big one in Frankfurt and a big one in London. They are media launches. They are rights fairs. But there's also a component of booksellers, the traditional booksellers, the chain booksellers, the online booksellers, trying to make deals and figure out what's going to be hot and pretty much sort of set the tone for the rest of the year. This year, they have launched BookCon, which is a consumer function. Last year, I think they called it Consumer Day, but it was very, very limited to by invitation only. This year, I think they opened 10,000 slots. Not 10,000 slots. Could it be 10,000 people? I guess it could be 10,000 people. That sounds like a lot of people. And you know something? There were a lot of people on the floor. I do know it must have been 10,000 because I think they had over 2,000 people to see John Green. And it wasn't enough. They didn't have enough space. And so we expect this to expand next year. And so I guess people should mark their calendars now because it's a hot ticket.
But from the standpoint of a bookseller in Milwaukee, you come out of it with some sense for what you think is really going to fit with the people who buy books here.
Absolutely. We're doing all sorts of things. So on one level, we're trying to figure out what people are talking about. And specifically to Milwaukee, we're pitching Milwaukee and the bookstore as a place for, say, authors to visit over the next year. And so we do that. It's an opportunity to meet with publishers sometimes on the floor, sometimes at their offices, and often just accidentally. You'll have just these amazing conversations at a cocktail party, at a luncheon that you get invited to, or maybe just in the hall you'll introduce I found myself connecting authors with people from – even from public radio. There were some national public radio people there. And there were all sorts of crazy things going on.
Well, so let's talk about some of the titles that stick with you after leaving this conference. The one that everyone was talking about, not just you, really is getting buzz from all over, something from David Mitchell.
Oh, absolutely. And perhaps this is the first new release after Cloud Atlas was a film. So I think there was a lot of resonance. The Bone Clocks is the book. It is about a young girl with mystic powers who sort of runs away from home and becomes the target of two competing sects. Something terrible happens and it follows her. It's David Mitchell. And so it's not a thriller. It's not a supernatural thriller. It's definitely a meta book. And people are describing it as the most Mitchell-esque book ever. So it will forever define what a David Mitchell book is.
And you say it's not a thriller. This is not another version of the Danielle Trussoni trilogy with angels
That's
chasing
right.
each other.
He's always writing about lots of different things. And even his historical books become, you know, there's a speculative element. There's always a lot of philosophy built into his books. Structurally, he's interesting. He's a language writer. So the books tend to be very dense. But, you know, so it's fascinating for us because to us, we think of him as an intensely literary writer, multiple times nominated for the Man Booker Prize. And there is this huge poster as you come in. Only about five books had it. You know, it was incredibly expensive. It was definitely the galley everyone was talking about. There's a lot of signings that people have. The signing component has exploded over the past 10 years. When I first started going there, you were not allowed to sign on the floor. In fact, Kay Gibbons, we surreptitiously tried to get some books signed from her, and the guards chased me and my fellow bookseller and we were like chasing with Kay Gibbons over the floor, getting away, escaping into so that we could get our books signed. That's not the case anymore. There's lines everywhere. And sometimes, you know, it's structurally, you're just like, it's a maze. I think the David Mitchell just like wove halfway through the show floor. And it's an enormous floor.
Well, and I'll name drop. While it was going on, I'm friends with Karen Abbott, who has a book coming out down the road.
Sure.
And she posted a picture of herself after she realized she was signing books next to Alan Cummings.
Oh, my gosh. That's the thing is, like, I don't tend – you know, we do a lot of events. I don't need to be in these lines. I don't need to take up all my time. But I have this thing what I call the pity lineup, which is when I see a book that I like or that I'm interested in, and I'm always looking for books for various people to get, when I know the publicist, when I – you know, there was one line, John Scalzi. It wasn't a very long line, and my buyer Jason is a huge fan of John Scalzi. And I said, oh, it's across from the Bloomsbury sign. I'll make a pitch for Jessamyn for at the same time because I know the publicist there. And, you know, so you kind of play it out. Like Lauren Bukes, who is the South African writer who she sort of broke out with Shining Girls. It wasn't her first book by any means. She was signing for her next book. And it was a pretty good line, so I just went through over and over again. You know, guess like, oh, I can think of another person for this book.
So if everyone was talking about The Bone Clocks by David Mitchell, what was the book that you were most talking about coming out of this conference?
Well, I do tend to want to have a mission when I go there. I have a number of missions, but one of mine is must help a book, must find some weird book or booth. Like sometimes I'll find like a really great booth and it's something to like start the conversation with. And sometimes it's an adult book that I've read. I did go into the show having read I'm like pro Wisconsin. So and everybody pretends like you'll see these books set in Wisconsin and you'll read the copy and Wisconsin will not be mentioned. So I'm always going in trying to tell them that a book that they might think is regional is not regional. And so I had one book called My Family and Other Hazards by June Melby, which is set at a golf course in Waupaca. It's a great memoir. It's structured really well. It reminded me of Daniel Trussoni in that it's three narratives going on at the same time.
This is Daniel Trussoni's memoir.
Memoir from a long time ago. Yeah, no, not the
not Angel Oslo.
Not Angel stuff. And it's funny, it's smart, and it's and so I'm going. I was telling NPR. I was telling the editor at Amazon, who does the newsletter, about it. I mean, I have no pride. I'm going to sell this book, and so that was that. And then on the kids' side, I just found this amazing book. I was so excited about it. It's called Before After, and I can't pronounce the author's name that well. It's Matthias Aregui, and it's wordless, which is very hot. Picture books are – there's so many wordless picture books, and some of the most amazing books are wordless nowadays. It's also completely an adult crossover. It's thick. It's beautifully – it's one of those beautiful graphic – perfect graphic books. And so you have these two-page spreads, and it's before and after. And sometimes it's a four-page spread, two pages of before, two pages after. So for example, a classic one would be coffee beans, coffee. And then you would see candle, candle burned out. But then maybe on the next page you'd see candle, light bulb, or passenger pigeon, quill pen in an inkwell. You'd see quill pen in an inkwell, typewriter. That it's beautiful. It's smart. You can see kids thinking about it, and there's all these little details, and nobody had known about it. That was the cool thing, because a lot of times you tell people out, it's like, yeah, I've been because the buyers have all bought already. One of the tricks, the business is speeding up, and everybody's asking us to buy earlier and earlier. Not for us, the independent bookstores, but for the national accounts. And so the buyers are getting bored. Our buyer, Jason, came back and said, I know everything already. I don't know what the point of the show is, but it's to discover this book that then you're like – so I started sending all these people to the Candlewick booth saying, you got to see this book, and because it's going to be one of those books that's going to be impossible to reprint. It's, you know, very hard. It's full color. The presses – they don't do presses in the United States with full color. Just beautiful.
So that's Before After, Matthias Aregui. There is another children's book or another picture book that that you're pretty high on and you're thrilled to already be able to book.
Oh, yes. I mean, that's the thing is we don't – you know, I talk to the big cities in Boston and New York and Washington, and they're completely booked up for fall already. And we're always – you know, we're a second-tier market. We're competing with St. Louis and Cincinnati and Kansas City and Cleveland and, you know, for events and Wichita. And so we get booked later. They, like, see how things are going. They fill in the holes. They find out that somebody has a connection in Chicago or Madison and add us on. And but we have a very – we're you know, school visits are hot and we do a lot of school outreach. And we – you know, you build up your reputation and we got – I can already say this is the most prestigious kids authors I'm going to get. It's John Klassen and Mac Barnett. They both got the Caldecott. They've been shortlisted. And
they're big names in the business.
They're big names. Yeah. And they're so fun too. They're funny and the art is beautiful. The book's called the new book's called Sam and Dave Dig a Hole. And it's about these two little boys who are hanging around their little house and decide they're going to go out and have this adventure. And they take their dog and they start digging. And they get tired and they brought chocolate milk with them. And everywhere they dig, they just miss these treasures. And they're digging all over the place and it becomes all these crazy patterns. And then finally they get tired and they try to leave and they fall through a hole and it's just wonderful. It's not a wordless book. The text is actually terrific. Mac Barnett he just had a book called President Taft is Taking a Bath and it's just great. And John Klassen, you know, This Is Not My Hat. And you can only imagine what they're going to be like with kids. Because those kids are just going to be overwhelmed. So they're coming on October 14th. I'm already panicking about this. How do I make this good? We're the launch event for the book, the very first day it's on sale, which we get to do a few times a year. But it's panicky because like when we had Louise Penny, they expect a lot more from you. They're like, you're setting the tone. You better make it good.
I should expect a pitch at some point.
Yo, double pitch. And it won't be just a talk. Like we have a public event in the store and we're already like, okay, dirt, holes, digging. What do we do? Fill the store with
dirt.
We've
already done Louis Sechar's Holes.
Yes, it is sort of a picture book version of Holes, isn't it? That's my pitch.
So let's talk about one more book while we still have time. And there is an author with a new book, but she may have well gotten a pretty good break at Boswell itself.
Yes, that's right. We have been huge fans of this author named Emily St. John Mandel. We hosted her for her last book. She's had three books, and two of the three have been number one Indie Next picks, which is when independent bookstores all over the country read books early, try to write reviews in it, and then our trade association tabulates it and makes a little flyer, and all the bookstores use it. And it's actually a major deal. It's a wonderful marketing program. I'm so glad that they came up with it because it's, you know, it just really puts us on the map a little more because we're, you know, independent bookstores, it's 1,000 different voices arguing with each other. And it's nice to have somebody saying, well, I know you disagree on everything, but here's some things you'd agree on. So she's always just had this amazing bookseller love. The Lola Quartet was the last book, Last Night in Montreal. But she was with a very small publisher that had trouble kind of breaking her out with the critics who are not as always amenable to small presses, the major critics, as booksellers are, to be honest. And so we were having this conversation. We had a very nice event and a weird we're doing Saturday night events periodically, which people are – like we had an author say, you're really doing this on Saturday night, Alan Weisman? I'm like, yeah, what the heck? It's a party. So we were chatting and we've been chatting about her book and I had this really fascinating conversation about where she needed to go. Like she's such an amazing author. She needs to get to the next level. And then I talked about it to my sales rep, one of my Random House reps who, you know, we were talking about this and he happened to be talking to an editor at Knopf, one of the Random House imprints, Penguin Random House imprints, I should say. And let me just, you know, one usually doesn't know that that did anything, but they have something called the Editor's Buzz Panel where six breakout novels get their start at the beginning of the show with editors talking about these books. And it was a really great buzz panel this year. And this is a major thing. This is like six distinctive books and they can't be superstars. They have to be either developing authors, not necessarily first books. And lo and behold, the editor, Jenny Jackson, gave a shout out to my sales rep, Jason Gobble. And I was like, wow. And I was like, and I'm thinking about it. She said after a call, after he was in Milwaukee, I'm like, oh, that's me sort of. So the new book's called Station 11. She's written all kinds of books, but the very hot thing right now is speculative elements to a book that you don't classify as science fiction or fantasy. And so this book starts with an actor performing King Lear who dies. And a few hours later, the world starts falling apart as well. But the theatrical element of the book continues throughout. So we were able to get the author to come. The book's on sale June 9th. I think she's in the store on June 22nd. But now I'm thinking, oh, I better do a really good job on that too. King Lear. Destruction.
Well, outstanding. Thanks for the backstage tour for us. And we'll see you again soon.
Looking forward to it.